This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to The Bullpen with Adam the Bull on the BetRivers Network.
Welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of The Bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by BetRivers. Coming up on today's podcast, we're talking Guardians home opener, the Cavs with a new low, and a huge weekend in Cleveland capped off by a women's basketball championship game and what it means for the sport going forward. That's all coming up on today's edition of The Bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by Bet Rivers.
You're in the bullpen with Adam the Bull on the Bet Rivers Network.
Let's start with Major League Baseball, folks. It's opening day in Cleveland. Seems like it took forever because it did. We're deep into the season already. This is day 11 of the Major League Baseball season, and the Guardians finally get their home opener. First pitch is today at 5 o'clock. By the time, I'm sure a lot of you will listen before then, but maybe some of you won't, but as we get started for the home portion of the season, it's a weird feeling for this team right now. After they got rained out on Sunday, the Guardians are 7-2 to start the year. You can't ask for a better start than that. I mean, if I would have told you they'd win 7 of their first 9 games before they come home, we would have all signed for that, no doubt about it. But the Shane Bieber injury continues to hang over the team. I say continues; it just happened. Well, I don't know. The injury didn't just happen, but the us finding out about it just happened on Saturday. And so there's still a healing of the wounds. I was thinking about what they could do in terms of, we talked on the Saturday emergency podcast about what the Guardians could do to replace Shane Bieber. And there's obviously, first of all, there's nobody they can get anywhere that's anywhere close to the pitcher he is. But what's the best replacement they can get? We talked about the minor league system. Their two best pitching prospects are already either too far away from the majors or not healthy right now. So, you know, we talked about a bunch of guys like Xavion Curry and Hunter Gaddis and Ben Lively and Tyler Beattie or whoever they're going to use of these veteran journeymen / young pitchers who are not high end prospects. And last night, I was like, okay, well, who's still a free agent? Because obviously every year there's guys who played last year, didn't officially retire, and they're still out there. And I was looking at the list of veteran free agents that the Guardians might, and I say might, be interested, because who knows? You know, obviously they hadn't been interested in any of these guys in the offseason. None of them are going to get a ton of money, even if they get a job. But maybe the Guardians changed their mind. Maybe they've been keeping an eye on some of these guys. I don't know. Here's the list of guys that I have that they could possibly jump on. Now, the best pitcher available is obviously Trevor Bauer. I've talked about this before. Contrary to what people would probably think, knowing how much I despise the guy, I would consider it if I'm a major league team. For the Guardians, it's just a no-go. Beyond the off-the-field stuff that is preventing anybody from signing him, they've already been down the road with Bauer. He left the organization in a bad way. Remember that the throw into the outfield and Francona had enough. And I just don't think there's any way the organization is going down that road. I understand from a fan perspective, we only care about who can help the team. And Trevor Bauer probably, even though he hasn't pitched in the majors in a number of years, probably could help this team on the field more than anybody else available. I just think we got to take it off the table because I don't think there's any way it's going to happen. I would not kill the Guardians if it did, but I'd be in the minority there. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be in the minority if that happens. And this has nothing to do with defending him. I think he's, for a variety of reasons, not a good human being, but I just don't think they're going to do it. So let me give you realistic veteran names that the Guardians could consider. Now, I don't know. All these guys, most of these guys are old. They're at least mid-30s. They haven't shown you much in recent years. The most intriguing name to me of this group, and this is how bad this group is, because this guy was terrible last year. But I just wonder if the Guardians would consider giving a call to Zach Greinke. I don't know that he can help them, honestly. He's 40 years old. He'll turn 41 in October. But the guy's a future Hall of Famer. As recently as 2022, he pitched to a 3.68 ERA. He also needs just 21 strikeouts to reach 3,000. So, you know, he hasn't retired. Now, he didn't pitch well last year. He was on the Royals. He had a 5.06 ERA. But if you look at some of his advanced numbers, they weren't quite as bad as that 5.06 ERA. I mean, Carlos Carrasco was terrible last year. I get it. The odds that Zach Greinke at 40 years old hasn't been in camp all year with anybody couldn't help is probably slim. But I don't know. I find it an intriguing option. It's only been 5 years since he was an all-star. I mean, as recently as 2022, at a 3.68 ERA. I mean, the guy's always been good. Last year was the first time he had an ERA higher than the low fours in his career, or since, you know, he was really young. So Zach Greinke is a name that, again, I don't know that he's going to go down that road, but he's out there. He's a free agent. Couple other guys, Johnny Cueto, Matthew Boyd, Rich Hill. Rich Hill's got to be close to 45. He supposedly still wanted to pitch this year. How old is Rich Hill? Yeah. He's 44. Just turned 44 last month. Another guy, you know, he pitched just 27 innings last year. Was terrible. I'm sorry. No, that was just for the Padres. He was terrible. He was serviceable for the Pirates. I know this sounds crazy, but we're grasping at straws at this point. Vince Velasquez is another name, a veteran journeyman. I think I said Matthew Boyd. And Noah Syndergaard. Syndergaard is another guy. He's probably the youngest of these batch of guys. Syndergaard's only 31. And he would be, after Greinke, probably the next guy I would look at. Now, the guy's career has gone off the rails. From 2015 to 2018, this guy looked like he was going to be one of the best young pitchers in baseball. And in 2019, he struggled. He missed all of the 20 and most of the 21 seasons due to injury. Pitched again in 2022, was, you know, serviceable. And then last year, he was absolutely terrible. It was a little better for the Guardians at the end of last season, so they know him. Now, maybe they know him, and that's why they haven't brought him back. But as much as these are long-shot options, I got to say, I would rather have Zach Greinke or Noah Syndergaard or Johnny Cueto or even probably Rich Hill than Ben Lively or Xavion Curry. I don't want to move Hunter Gaddis out of the pen. He's done a really good job there. So we'll see what the Guardians decide to do. I think it could be interesting if they go with one of these veteran options. The Cleveland Cavaliers are an absolute disaster right now. So we switch it up to the NBA. Thankfully, the regular season is almost over. The Cavs have just 3 games left on the season. A team that was playing great basketball in the middle of the season has completely cratered. They have dropped to the 5 seed now in the Eastern Conference. Now, it's still very close. The Bucks are not, the Knicks are not playing great. The Bucks are not playing great right now. The Knicks did beat the Bucks. But at the moment, you have the Bucks in the 2 seed. They're a game up on Orlando and the Knicks, who are tied. Orlando apparently would have the tiebreaker right now for the 3 seed. And then the Cavs are a half game back of Orlando and the Knicks, and the Pacers are a game back of the Cavs, followed by the Sixers, who are a game back of the Pacers, and the Miami Heat, who are a game and a half back of the Pacers and 2.5 back of the Cavs. It could still end in any order. The Sixers have gotten hot. Embiid's coming back. They've won 5 in a row. This seems like it's the Celtics. I mean, no, I don't know how anybody's going to beat the Celtics. But the Cavs are not winning anything. They were up 25 points on the Clippers. They scored 80 in the first half and scored like 35 in the second, whatever it was, 37. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. They blew a 20-something point lead. They have no heart. They have no fight. They have no toughness. And their best players hurt. Their best players hurt. You had, you know, the only chance you had of making a run in the postseason was if Donovan Mitchell was fully healthy and playing like the superstar that he played like, where we saw an all-time great performance by him in the middle of the season when the team went 18-2. But we haven't seen that guy in a while because he's been hurt. I don't blame him. What are you going to do? It's bad luck. The rest of the team has not stepped up. Allen played well early in the season, but he hasn't lately. Darius Garland's been a total disaster this season. I mean, relatively. You know, I mean, he's still a pretty good player, but he's been really bad for what we expect. Isaac Okoro has disappeared after some success during that stretch. Same thing for a lot of other guys. I mean, you never know because a lot of these Eastern Conference teams are not playing well, but it's hard to believe that the Cavs are going to do anything in the postseason. I would assume they'll lose in the first round. I'm going to assume they're not going to even make it competitive. That's just how I feel about the team right now. They're completely unwatchable. I tweeted yesterday that they're more unwatchable than the 0-16 Browns. And, of course, I got accused of clickbait. I don't know why I was and the explanation is that I was just trying to get people to interact on Twitter. I was just sharing frustration and making a point of how bad they've been. I was not trying to do clickbait. I don't try to do clickbait. I hate when people say that. But the Cavs stink. They're completely unwatchable. I don't know how you can sit, and I refuse to watch their final three regular season games. They don't matter. They can't. I mean, they matter in terms of seeding, but I'm not watching them for that reason. I refuse. Their final three games are Wednesday at home against Memphis. They got three home games to end the season: Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and thankfully a week from now the playoffs will be here. And maybe the Cavs will shock us by playing well, but I can't imagine. The last time the Cavs won back-to-back games was Sunday, February 25th, Tuesday, February 27th. That's been a long, long time. So, yeah, it's a total disaster for the Cavs, and it's hard to have any hope right now. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. Again, I guess crazier things have happened. Maybe they'll shock us in the playoffs. But right now, it's impossible to believe that the Cavs are going to do anything special this year. Finally, no Browns talk today. But I do want to talk about the Women's Final Four. What a great event it was in Cleveland. All three games were exciting. There was a ton of energy. Kudos to the women on these teams. And I got to say, it's really distasteful to me that people are shitting on Caitlin Clark to build up South Carolina. You can do both. I mean, you can love Caitlin Clark or build her up and build up South Carolina. That's exactly what Dawn Staley, the South Carolina head coach, said. She's a great coach, and South Carolina is a great team. I, like many people watching the Final Four, did not watch a lot of women's basketball. And I'm someone who's, I'm not going to watch women's sports. I called women's basketball Division III for 8 years. I have a lot of respect for women's female athletes. I just was not a big college basketball fan, period, and in recent years, and I just didn't watch a lot of the women's game. I didn't watch a lot of the men's game either. So, obviously, I, like others, paid more attention the last couple of weeks. I didn't realize how good South Carolina was. I'm not an authority on women's college basketball. So, it's understandable where fans that have not been paying attention all year and all they hear about is Caitlin Clark would think that she's going to win it all. I don't think we need to kill her or downgrade her. That's in a way insulting to South Carolina and what they accomplished. Dawn Staley is obviously a great coach. They had a ton of talent. 1 through 9, fantastic. Those two freshman women were great for South Carolina. Their whole team is athletic and hardworking and, I mean, they're just fantastic. They all can do everything on that team. It's a great team and a great coach, and they deserve to win. They were clearly the better team. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Caitlin Clark is an amazing player and is the best player in college basketball. South Carolina's probably got nine of the next 10 or nine of the next 11 or maybe the next nine, you know, in the between the two teams. And they're a great team. And that Cardozo, man, she is at 6'7", a great athlete, strong as an ox. I mean, she's a fun player to watch. And that whole South Carolina team is amazing. I was so impressed. Not that they need me to be impressed. I'm just saying, but Dawn Staley after the game, thrilled, excited. She's crying. It was amazing. And she still said, hey, thanks to Caitlin Clark for bringing up women's propping up women's basketball. And we could look at all the nefarious reasons why that happened. We understand race is a part of many conversations. I get it. But why can't we just show some love to both instead of forcing yourself to show hate to one to love the other? It doesn't make any sense. This was great for the game. South Carolina is great for the game. Kristen Clark is great for the game. Hopefully this will continue. We'll see if the WNBA gets uplifted by a lot of those players going there. The fact that South Carolina lost five players to the WNBA last year and went undefeated and won a national championship is absurd. It's absurd and beyond impressive. And Dawn Staley, you know, along with Gino Auriemma, best coaches in college basketball, women's college basketball, probably college basketball, period. All the kudos in the world. They're fantastic. And I'll pay more attention next year because of it. And I'll be curious to see how much, if women's college basketball can keep up this level with the just incredible ratings through the roof, shattering all kinds of records, beating men's sports, beating men's professional sports, World Series, NBA Finals, everything. Everything but the NFL pretty much. It's amazing. So kudos to them. I will pay attention to the WNBA draft. I probably will watch more WNBA than I ever have because I haven't really watched much. It's not going to become my second favorite sport, but I'll pay more attention. I definitely will. All right, thanks to everybody for joining me as always. Please hit the subscribe button. Please hit the like button. And thanks to Brian Monzo for producing. I'll talk to you next time. Where else but right here in the Bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by Bet Rivers. See you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Bullpen with Adam the Bull on the Bet Rivers Network.